Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you're listening from and tuning into, welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got a wonderful show in store for you, our next to last show, live show for the new year. And I have a dear friend coming on. I think you'll really like her. But of course, first we have, as always, our little section from my book, Everyday Awakening, which you can always get at everydayawakeningbook.com. And this section is entitled, Our Wounds Are Our Excuse to Hide in Plain Sight. We have a tendency to hold on to our pain. Often we have had a pain for so long that we don't remember what it is like not to have it, and it feels scary to let it go. There is a benefit to holding on to pain that isn't discussed too often. That benefit is how pain gives us the perfect excuse not to do something, the perfect excuse not to show up, the perfect excuse not to try. We can use our pain in so many ways. We can use it as the reason why not to be vulnerable, or we can use it as the reason to be vulnerable, to transform and change. We use our pain all the time. Usually, we're not even aware of it. It is something that just sits there in the back of our consciousness, and we think we are showing up for others, yet we are just hiding in plain sight. We are present. Yet we are not really present. We are showing up. Yet we are not really showing up. We show up in our wound. We may even talk about our wound. In fact, we may wallow in our wound. Yet we are not moving past our wound because to move past our wound is scary. It has been our companion for so many years and has comforted us when we fail. Sometimes old pain keeps us so safe so we don't have to be hurt again. The trouble is that when we just live in our wound, we are not being true to ourselves. We are not being who we really are. We are not living authentically and freshly. Or in the moment, we are not showing up as our best selves. We use the identity related to old pain to hide from being who we can truly be. And who we truly are is a gift to the world. It is our presence that lights the way for others to see that they can get past their wounds as well, drop their excuses from being. Drop their excuses and stop hiding in plain sight too. Can you see where in your life you are hiding in plain sight because of your pain? So I wrote this section of my book a while ago, and I remember what the inspiration for it was. I was at a group with my teacher and mentor. And I went up to him to discuss something with him that wasn't sitting very well with me. And he makes some comment about, well, why are you not showing up? And I'm like, what do you mean? And he said to me, you use your pain as an excuse not to show up. And it struck me like boing right here in the middle of my forehead. And it really, I don't want to say it stung, but it really affected me on a deep level. Like I had never felt so naked in front of another human being. Like he could see right past all of my masks, all of my persona, and could really see the heart of me. And it was really difficult to sit with it. It was really difficult to acknowledge it and realize that he was absolutely correct. And so I shared it with someone later on that night, and he was like, oh my God, that's true of me too. And then as I kind of discussed it with some people, I found out that actually it's true for almost all of us. And so I kind of wrote this section because I realized I had been hiding in plain sight for so many years, and I had been using my pain, my wound, my trauma as my excuse not to show up, not to be the best that I am, not to truly be authentic and vulnerable and present. And it's still a challenge to today. I mean, this is such a core thing for me. I'll probably be working with this for the rest of my life. I mean, I like to imagine that I'm much better than I used to be. It might be just an illusion. It could be just me fooling myself. But I like to think I'm much better with it, and that I am hiding less, shall we say, in plain sight than I used to. But I know I probably still do. And so to me, this is one of the most vulnerable pieces in my book. And that this is something that, you know, at the time I just had to write about it because it was the only way for me to process it. So I share that with you to learn from me. Is there some wound? Is there some pain? Is there some trauma that's keeping you from showing up truly, authentically, deeply in your life? And if there is, you know, maybe seek help. Work with a professional, a therapist, or a guide, or someone, a shaman, who can help you to, not to completely let it go, although that would be nice, not to, you know, I really don't believe in, like, we don't go from 0 to 100 overnight, but to work through it, to take some time and just to move through it and understand it and accept it and still show up anyway and still say, yes, this is me. So that's the section from my book entitled Our Wounds Are Our Excuse to Hide in Plain Sight. And that's from my book, Everyday Awakening, which, of course, you can find the listing on Amazon at www.everydayawakeningbook.com. But if you're like myself and you like to support local independent bookstores, please ask your independent bookstore to order the book for you. We're in all the major distributors, so any bookstores can get it. And I also want to mention, I haven't really mentioned this before, but you know, my book was a best-selling book in 3 different categories on Amazon, but I was just in a new book called The Game Changers, Volume 7. And here's my picture all the way in the bottom. And this book became an international bestseller as well as a bestseller. So now I'm a 2-time bestselling author and an international bestselling author. And actually, my little section in this book, I've talked about it on the show in the past, but it's kind of me telling my story and why what I do today is so important. And it's kind of a pretty vulnerable piece. You know, I talk about my childhood a little bit and my challenges through life. And so there's 17 Other Authors here. It's a really great book. You can find it again on Amazon, The Game Changer, Volume 7. So please, and there obviously the 6 volumes before this, and a lot of my friends and colleagues are in this book who wrote and told their story. So if you're looking for some inspiration, if you're looking for something that'd be a nice little gift this holiday season, check out The Game Changer as well. Okay, enough about me. Now it is my pleasure to welcome to the show fellow author, a photographer, TEDx speaker, fellow talk show host, and professional chef. I think she's the first professional chef I've had on the show, Donna Maltz. Donna has been an eco entrepreneur since 1980. So she's not new to this, long before most people even knew what an eco entrepreneur was. And she's a certified health coach for over a decade. She is a best-selling author whose career has been centered around awakening humanity to live in harmony with Mother Nature by adopting a lifestyle to live, eat, and work like the future matters. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Donna ran the first natural foods bakery and cafe in Alaska for 37 years. During this time, she founded a variety of successful eco businesses, including the national company Alaska, which produced the first organic hot cocoa mixes and chocolate syrup in the U.S. Donna resides now on the Big Island of Hawaii, which I love. Oh, by the way, how's the volcano there? I know it's a lot. And she offers holistic retreats. Her books include Living Like the Future Matters, I Am Living Like the Future Matters, and Conscious Cures, among several others. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Donna.
Oh, so great. Thank you for the warm introduction. I'm so excited to talk to you today about what you read. That was so awesome, besides Living, Eating, and Working Like the Future Matters. But I am just so excited to be here. It's been almost a year since we talked about this, and to be here airing in my almost hometown. I was born and raised in New Jersey, right across the bridge. So I got the thing going on, the Jersey, the New York thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so awesome now living here on the Big Island, like you say, where Mauna Kea and Mauna Loa are both going off at the same time.
Oh, both of them are going off?
Yes.
Oh.
It's so rare. And last night I went with a friend and we drove up on the Saddle Road and I took some epic photos, which will be on my EcoSpired site. But just seeing the lava coming down, almost hitting the road we're on, it's just a mile away, and they're anticipating it might, you know, cut off the road. But, you know, it's cut off the same road before, and they just open it up again. It's just like amazing.
Yes, I tell you, I was in Hawaii for a couple of weeks back in 2006, 2007, or 2008, I forget, something like that. So it was a while ago. And we stayed mainly in Maui, but we went to the Big Island for a weekend, and we went to see the lava flows, you know, right around, you know, it was still light out, but, you know, went into dusk in the evening time. It was such a sight. I had never seen anything like it. It was so beautiful. And I know they say you have to be careful when you're walking across the lava fields because it can be sharp, but it was just so fascinating to me personally to look at like this black rock, which is lava, that like this is how the earth was formed. I mean, it's really something to be so in touch with that.
Well, you know what? I want to take this back to what you wrote about pain, right? And like the earth right now is experiencing pain in the most unproportionate way. We're seeing these storms and the climate crisis, and we're seeing volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, typhoons. And this is Mother Earth's way of responding to the pain of humanity, right? So that's where the pain like the future matters comes in. And at the same time, what you see when this volcano is happening, when you're spiritually awakened, which I like to consider having lived on the most spiritual island almost in the world right here, that I have absorbed some of Pachamama and Pele's wisdom. The thing that we're experiencing right now when she is having this flow, it's like when a woman has her period, right? Or when we're detoxing. And that gets us down to pain. Right now, I am in the middle of, not in the middle, kind of the beginning of another detox, right? And what happens when we detox our bodies? The physical thing happens, of course. You know, you might have a different odor. You might get more white thrush on your tongue. You might have, you know, these the physical rashes, things that are
right, very apparent. What they call a healing crisis.
The healing crisis, but it doesn't have to be a crisis. When you look at it differently, it becomes an awakening. But then you get to that layer where you and your, you met with that colleague and he addressed you and the pain of not, that the emotional stuff that comes out.
Right.
Emotional stuff that is spewing out of Mother Earth right now as well.
Right.
It's a sense of like revealing who we are. And when I work with my clients, the first thing that we address is that, like, where do we need to purge? What do we need to compost that doesn't serve us? And where do we need to nurture what does? Because pain is just an indication of like, we need more balance in our lives.
We need to shift. Absolutely. Okay. Let's hold it there. We got to take our first break. And when we come back, let's talk about how did you get into this stuff? I mean, you've been involved with this whole idea of natural and organic long before it was popular, long before anyone's ever heard of it. So let's you know, when we come back, we'll give our audience a little bit of background about you, and then and how did you get from Alaska to Hawaii? It somehow it seems like everyone I know from like Canada and Alaska always end up someplace warm like Costa Rica or Hawaii. So we'll take care of that right after this break. Okay, Donna?
Sounds great.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday here on talkradio.nyc and every Wednesday on KMET in Palm Springs, California. And we'll be right back after this.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy. And I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Donna Malt, author of the book, Living Like the Future Matters, as well as many other books. I just want to give a quick shout out. I see on the YouTube Live, loyal listeners, Patty and Sanaya are joining us today. Thank you for joining us, and I appreciate you sharing the video out. Let us know if you have any questions during the show. All right, Donna. So, how did a girl from Jersey end up in Alaska for 37 years and then from there into Hawaii?
I love this question. I'm going to try and keep it short because we got so much to talk about. Yep. And you can read it in Living Like the Future Matters. Okay. But here's what happened. You know, I went to Europe when I was 16 My parents, I was kind of an upper middle class Jewish American princess living right outside of Manhattan, and you know, going to the malls and eating fast food. And this is in the 70s. And so when I was 16, I was going to camp before that. Parents like to ship you off for the summer back then, yep, if they could afford it, right? Get, yep, rid of the kids. And I decided I didn't want to go back to camp. I was, you know, and they found a hostel, like, you know, a bike riding thing to Europe. And I was really into bike riding. Didn't want to ride my car to school because it was polluting. You know, I was already hip to all this when I was young. And so I refused to get my driver's license and the whole nine yards. But then the next thing is I go to Europe where there wasn't a fast food joint or a mall, and we were camping, and I was with a bunch of other upper middle class kids from like Scarsdale, New York, and Manhattan, and they're all going on this trip, and we're camping every night. First spiritual awakening, realizing that the unattainable, unsustainable American dream was a bunch of BS, and that I was changing my ways, and that was it. I wanted to, I know there's a lot of great things about America, don't get me wrong, but I really felt the earth move when I was there, literally. Carol King, thank you so much. But she made it the earth move whenever you're around, meaning like the earth. And I felt very violated by the way my upbringing was, country club, you know, fancy cars, the fingernails, the beauty parlor, all of these things that I thought that's what I was supposed to do and I didn't want any of it. I wanted to camp outside. So actually, that's what I did. I camped outside when I told my parents I wouldn't get out of my room. I was wearing an Alcatraz shirt in my bedroom for 3 days before I came out of my room. They had to slide food to me. And I said to them, look, until I can move outside and camp under the stars, I'm not coming back in the house. That was number one condition. Number two is I wanted to plant a garden. Remember, I'm 16 years old. So we need to listen to our youth. They're very smart. I'm very, very in tune with the youth because they know what they want. So anyway, I broke out. I got both of those things accomplished. I went to very alternative progressive colleges, and basically my degree was in social ecology. It took me 6 years to get it. I was organic farming along the way. And back in the late 70s, early 80s, organic farming was just coming into its own. Mm-hmm. And basically they gave me the degree in social ecology, but I was learning how to be a soul-to-soul entrepreneur at the same time. I was learning how to be an organic farmer, a steward of the land. I was studying ecology and the relationship between the food we eat and how it affects the earth. And a lot of the study was me digging in because I had all these independent things, looking at what was going on in our watershed, looking what was going in the atmosphere. Look what was happening to our bodies. Mm-hmm. I mean, people weren't even taking into consideration that the agricultural industry that goes into making packaging materials, boxes, they're fossil fuels, they're pumping it out of these oil fields,
right,
to make this plastic packaging. So it wasn't just the food we were eating, it was this processed food that we're eating, the packaging food, the amount of chemicals that were going into the ecosystems.
You know, what you're talking about reminds me a long time ago. I can't remember when. I remember someone shared a link with me of this animation of this video online called The Story of Stuff.
Sure.
And it kind of showed how, like, you know, we have this very tiny perspective of this thing we, yeah, buy in a store. And there's such this wider thing of the packaging, what happens, what gets done to create it, what happens when we throw, right, it out, and how it impacts the environment. And I just remember it was such an impactful video. I loved it. I don't know if it's still there or not.
Oh, yeah. The Story of Stuff is bigger and better than ever. Annie Lampert, I think, was the woman who started, right, that first animation. And that really kicked my butt to get into gear. I think it was 2007, maybe, that first came out. It's in my book, actually, and it's one of the resources in my book, The Story of Stuff. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that in like 20 minutes, that just pretty much sums it up. So people watch that video. It's fantastic. So
So how did you get to Alaska? Why Alaska?
Well, when I finally graduated college, and when I was 25, At the time, I had an organic farm with my pseudo-husband. We got married in the barn with no religious or no, you know, minister. Yeah. We didn't sign any papers, but we had a big barn wedding with goats in the barn and about 100 people. And then we decided before we went back to Maine, the East Coast, we were thinking we were going to move to Maine and start a, like Helen and Scott Nearing, The Good Life, who are another people that I write about in my book. But Helen and Scott Nearing, they were incredible role models for me and my first love. And before we went and did that, we wanted to go and see Alaska because we were farming in Olympia, Washington. I graduated Evergreen State College. So we went to from Evergreen State College with a degree in social ecology, a 1972 laundry truck that we converted into a bakery on wheels and a camper. And we drove to Alaska, and this is 1982, and I was 24. I arrived in Alaska on my 25th birthday. We bought a business license with our last like $50 we had, and we filled a tank of gas with the other 25 for the business license, 25 to get the tank of gas. We literally baked our way to Alaska. We didn't have enough gas money to get where we were going. And so we got to Homer, Alaska, and it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. Put it on your bucket list, people. But unfortunately, too many people have found it. And I had to leave because it was too crazy busy there. But it's a beautiful place. And that's where I got really in touch with more wilderness. But I'm 25 years old, leaving Jersey, leaving the United States, basically. That's what I wanted, to get as far away from this unattainable, unsustainable American dream, where I could still speak English because I'm dyslexic and I have a hard time learning new languages, which I'm very proud of being dyslexic and written 6 books now. So I'm pretty, we can all overcome those painful things, right? Detoxing thoughts. Getting back to your story in your book, which I loved.
So what was it about Alaska that got you to stay there for so long? Because, I mean, you seem to love to camping and do stuff outdoors. Alaska, you can't do that most of the year, right? It's pretty cold there.
Very, very cold. But there were, in Homer, there were less than 2,000 people. Downtown wasn't even a paved road. There were bald eagles greeting us as soon as we came over the ridge. And then I found out it's because there was a landfill there. The eagles they love that stuff. It just took my breath away. But one of the main reasons, besides the beauty and the wildlife and the clean air and the clean water, was the amount of the population density was so nothing like I'd never experienced. There were more moose than people on the state. Mm-hmm. There were only at the time maybe 300,000 people in the whole state. Wow. And most of them were in Anchorage. And politically, I thought I could make a change here. I wanted to protect the last frontier. Heighten people's awareness to wilderness and do anything I could as a citizen, and then maybe get in even into politics. Then I found out how Republican the state was, and it didn't jive there. But, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're a big fish in a small pond, you know, it kind of felt like that. You could be seen, right? And I know a lot of people can relate to this, you know, it's just like, you know, how are you seen? How does it feel to be seen? And what do you want to show? And I was a voice for nature, and I was living in the heart of nature. And people were, you know, heating with wood and hauling water a lot. It was really the last frontier. 1982 in New York City was a whole different place.
Yes.
And I like to tell people, because I grew up in New Jersey, the extreme of being in Manhattan and just Jersey and all of that intensity.
Yeah. And very industrial, very built up, very polluted.
Yeah. But very polluted. But the reason why someone like me could thrive, or other people who came from these big metropolitan areas, is because it's just as intense in a different way. I mean, it's dark all day in the winter, light all night in the summer. You know, the city that never sleeps. the different kinds, the northern lights instead of the city lights. Oh. There are a lot of interesting parallels. You'd be really surprised.
Oh. Interesting. Interesting.
It was the extreme that I...
Yeah, extreme opposite.
Extreme opposite.
Got it. All right, we got to take our next break. When we come back, I want to find out, how did you end up in Hawaii from Alaska? Talk about extremes, going from one extreme to another. And then let's talk about, you know, soil to soul principles, and what does it mean to really understand and live with the soil and how important it is, okay? So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Donna Maltz, author of the book, Living Like the Future Matters, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. So, Donna, you spent 37 years in Alaska, is that correct?
Yeah, 37. And actually, the last 20 of those years, you know, a lot of people's careers, right, are 17, 20 years. But I was coming back and forth to Hawaii. Because it's kind of like the Florida of New York, right? New York and Florida, everybody, the Kapaa plane. So that was the closest warm place and also the most beautiful place next to Homer, Alaska. And so I was coming here, and in 2004, we actually bought a home, a small house here, and I was doing the snowbird thing, homeschooled our son. And so I was building a tribe and a family here on the...
So it wasn't an abrupt change. It was something that had been building for a while.
Yeah, which I like to think of as a good way to detox too, right? Getting back to detoxing, like, just, you know, and so, yeah, I had fallen in and had a miscarriage before my first son was born 30 years ago. And it affected my spine, and, you know, I was cold all the time. And even in my bakery, in my cafe, which was the first natural foods bakery, and we were serving organic local food in the 1980s, believe it or not.
Wow.
It was really, really hard on me, the winters especially, and even the summers. You know, you guys, summer here is like, you know, hot day is 70 degrees, and here I am so much healthier. So every time we go to Hawaii, that pain, like you speak about, that physical pain would go away. And when the physical pain goes away, you know, mentally you lose that fog brain. You feel
so much better. You're able to be more present, more focused. Yeah. Was it difficult to let go of Alaska after so many years, or were you ready for the change to completely move to Hawaii?
I was ready to completely move, and here's why. Because just like you and I were talking earlier, like about death and dying and all that, you never let go of something that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And so that part of me is so alive that it's, you know, my book is a lot about my journey, mm-hmm. but anytime I want to transport or to bring any of those feelings or emotions, you know, and we still have friends who come visit us. It's a beautiful thing to keep beautiful things alive and to be able to bury, like I said earlier, compost what doesn't serve us and nourish what does. Mm-hmm. And the cold weather and the politics in Alaska were getting very disjointed. You know, I like diversity in the environment, yeah. in the ecosystem, in the population. It's one of the things I loved about New York.
Yes.
And, you know, it was being very homogenized, like a lot of like the division that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. And here in Hawaii, I'm a minority and I love it.
Yeah. I often say to people, you know, when I go to a meeting or something, if everybody is all Caucasian, I don't feel comfortable because I grew up in the Bronx and I'm used to having all different shapes and colors and sizes and ethnic backgrounds all around me ever since, you know, high school, early high school, junior high school, you know, I was just used to it. And so when I go to a place and there's not diversity, mm-hmm. it actually feels uncomfortable to me.
And that's what's happening to the earth, like coming back to not living like the future matters. When you have that, the only time you have a healthy ecosystem is when there is diversity, when there is that biodiversity. And otherwise, you have constant ravaging happening and conflict and people competing rather than co-creating and collaborating. And so, you know, when you kind of asked earlier, you know, like what I do or why I do this is because I'm a voice for nature. I learned this. Everything that we're talking about, all we have to do, like Buddha did, is sit under a tree and you'll see and you'll feel if you take the time to observe and to watch around you. Even in a tree, it has a whole ecosystem. You can be walking. I mean, I used to love Central Park.
Yes.
I would go to Manhattan, and I can't tell you how many times I walked through that park when I was, you know, as a teenager and felt safe back then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, they did. I mean, I know most people listening to that know that's a man-made park. That whole thing was created, and it has one of the most prolific bird migration in the world, right through mm-hmm. Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people don't even know that, how amazing, how genius. And how different the world would be if we put parks like that everywhere now, and we cleaned up the parking lots and we stopped paving paradise.
Yes,
right?
yes, absolutely. Stop putting up those malls and let's create more natural spaces. And so that's a lot of what your work is, right? It's helping people to reconnect to the soil, to reconnect to nature. I mean, things have changed a lot over the last 30, 40 years. Do you find people are truly ready to reconnect to nature? Are people much more open to these kinds of conversations compared to 30 years ago?
This is a gigantic question because we're going on almost 8 billion people in the world. So I would say there's a very, very beautiful growing trend, just like the background behind you and even mine, you know, they're radiating out and doing a show like what you're doing, helping people find their consciousness. My show, A Dose of Positivity, we are having an impact, and it's really in my world, the world that I live in, we're all doing it. Because it's kind of like this ecosystem. And so what I do is that I inspire people like a pebble in a still pond to radiate that out. And so there's this energy, there's this wave of consciousness, and miracles are happening every day. Mm-hmm. And I see even in the inner cities, people putting in vertical gardens, rooftop gardens, mm-hmm. there people are, you know, banning styrofoam. It's about freaking time, you know, whatever it is, but there's, we each day taking it off the superficial level and bringing it to a more spiritual, a more balanced, a more awakened level. Like I always give the example, am I living like the future matters when I eat it, drink out of my teacup or my coffee cup, has my name on it even, was made by one of my customers in Alaska almost 40 years ago, 36 years ago. He made this cup, one for me and my husband, has a little chip on it even. I'm drinking organic fair trade coffee right now out of it. Or am I going to Starbucks or some other place and drinking non-organic coffee in a paper cup with a plastic lid? Which ways am I living like? Just every step of the way, is this a soul to soul relationship? So when you go into the store and you're buying groceries and you're not shopping on just the four corners like Michael Pollan recommends us do, right? Which I agree with. And you're going through the aisles and there's boxes and plastic and all this stuff. So next time you pick it up, everybody ask the question, just one question. Is this living like the future matters? That's all you have to do. Is this living like the future matters? When I do anything, am I eating like the future matters? Am I working like the future matters? Like you said earlier, when you're not being your true self, your authentic self, who are you being? Right. Is this the kind of work you want to do? Is your work contributing to living like the future matters, future generations, making people feel their best selves in your presence?
And this is probably more important now than it's ever been before. I've had a couple of shows, and I recently had on an author, Daniel Pinchbeck, who talks a lot about the ecological crisis that we're facing. And how, you know, it's kind of insane in some ways that we're not responding to climate change. We're not responding to the pollution in the world as necessarily as we really could be, because this is an existential threat. This is something that, you know, the whole future of civilization really depends on, yet we're treating it like something we don't really have to deal with, and we do, don't we?
We're treating it like dirt, not soil. Dirt is dead soil.
Yeah.
Okay, and the same thing with your spirit, you know, when you're soulless, you're gutless. Yeah. Right now, we are gutting the soil. We have 60 years max of farmable soil left. But here's the thing that I think is so important about that is the we. You just said, we're doing this, we're doing that. And how are we going to make a difference? Right. It's because I'm not doing that. I'm not living like that. I'm not a CEO of a corporation or working in a company that's greenwashing. I'm not doing that. I'm educating. So I'm not part of that we. And I urge everybody who's listening to this, if they really want to have an impact in the world, don't be part of the we. Find a way out of the we and become a collective of consciousness versus feeling like you're part of the problem. Be part of the, what I say, and I coined this word, solution, S-O-U-L. Be a solutionist. A solution is putting duct tape on a kid's mouth, throw them in the closet, they're quiet. We want soulful solutions that have long-term effects.
Yeah.
That are going to have an impact for your children's children's children, and like the Iroquois Indians, the seven generations. We got to think beyond seven generations. Stop putting yourself in that we category.
Well, I like to use we because I like to take responsibility, because I feel like if I take responsibility for my part, then I can change my impact. I can change my part. And by changing my part, I'm affecting the whole. Yeah. So I don't look at it as a, oh, I'm part of the problem. No, I'm responsible so that I can make a change, and the change I make has an impact. So let's hold it there for the moment. We got to take our last break of the show. So when we come back, let's talk about a little bit more of what can people do today? People living in cities, living in suburbs, or even living in rural areas, what can we do today to make more of an impact? Okay.
I love it.
Awesome. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So, Donna, we've identified the challenge. What do we do about it? I mean, this is the thing that I feel like I really want to empower people, because sometimes, especially you live in a big city like New York in the middle of Manhattan, or maybe you're in LA or Chicago or Miami. You know, what can you do? And even if you're not living in a big city, maybe you're living in a suburb or maybe even a rural area, there's still things that we can all do to live more closely to the soil, aren't there?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So I'm really glad we're closing with this question. This is so important. And I want to go over three things that I can that people can easily digest. And the first is personal responsibility and taking care of your health. I can't emphasize this enough, because first of all, we know health is our greatest wealth. And the healthier we are, the clearer our minds are. And then we have the ability and can take the responsibility to get to do everything we're doing. So it starts kind of like at the beginning of our conversation, detoxing. We're all like, this is explosion happening in each and every one of us. Nobody here listening to this program or any of the great shows that you have on your show, Sam, want the world to collapse. Nobody right. wants an Armageddon, right?
Right.
So the healthier we are, the more resilient we are, just like everything in nature teaches us. And what does we need in nature? We need clean air, clean water. We need the nutrients. 80% of what keeps this world healthy is the soil, and we don't see it's beneath our feet. Right. It sequesters carbon. It's full of microorganisms that absorb and take care of nasty bacteria and viruses when it's healthy. Mm-hmm. My book, Conscious Cures, you guys got to read that book. Anyway, so health detox. Get clear, take care of yourself, take time for self-love, self-dignity, self-care, mm-hmm. because you care,
right.
because you are worthy. So that's number one. And that could take a couple of weeks. You know, you can change your whole microbiome in 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. It can seem really hard because we're of the addiction that we have to process foods, alcohol, cocaine, sex, whatever your addiction is. Mm-hmm. We all got one.
Right.
Because we're empty. Because society has told us we're empty and that we need these things that make us unhealthy. Mm. So it's very, very important for all of us to come to terms with that our self-worth, to come to terms that we are not society. Just getting back to your beautiful words earlier, Sam, that we, with that pain we're feeling is not getting in touch with us, who we are. So taking care of our health is number one. Number two is nature, because the closer we get to nature, the closer we get to our true nature. Spending time in nature every day, I don't care if there's a blizzard outside. That's why you bought that $200 Patagonia coat or those boots that you never wear because it's too freaking cold out, even though they're good for below zero, but you don't want to put them on. So many people have a closet full of clothes that they could weatherize themselves to get out in nature and catch a snowflake on their tongue, or get out and take a shower in a rainstorm if you're in a tropical place like I love to do. Mm. I really encourage people not to be afraid of the elements. I mean, don't go out in a hurricane or, you know, cyclone, but experience nature, not occasionally, every day. Hug a tree. Mm-hmm. Open the window in your house, even if it's cold, and let the air come in. And if it's too polluted, then get on a group and a task force that's cleaning up the air in your city and tell them why you're there, because you want to be able to open your window, participate. Right. Which brings me to the next thing, because nature is the ultimate healer. Nature is the ultimate teacher, because it was here long before humans. So it's got to have some one up on us. We think we have one up on nature, but guess what? The last is community, because unity in community builds immunity. Mm-hmm. And that brings us back to diversity and to biodiversity and to healthy soil to soul quality, the interconnection. Like you said, when you go into a meeting, you don't feel comfortable when you're the only white dude in the room. Nobody does. If they do, they're sterile and shouldn't be running the meeting. That's a scary thing. Mm-hmm. So we won't get into the politics of that. But unity and community builds our immunity. And when you are part of the healthy microbiome in that community, because you've taken the time to take care of your health, you've taken your time to get back to nature, because the closer we get to nature, the closer we get to our true nature. And then because without nature, without a healthy earth, we don't have pandemics. We don't have anything.
Right.
We don't have food to eat. It's so important. And then you do it. You can't do this by yourself. So that's where the we really powerful comes in. We are making a difference. We are not polluting. We are not the ones responsible for this climate crisis. We are part of unity and community that's going to clean up the mess we made. That is the message. And it's such a great time to be alive. It is. Yeah. Such an opportunity to dig in and go for it.
There's a lot of possibilities, aren't there?
So many. When you're healthy and you understand the principles of nature, and you have good people to support you and to support other people. And I'm talking intergenerational, right?
Right.
Intergenerational building.
Do you find kids today are more aware of these kinds of things, maybe more so than even their parents?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you'll see in everything I sign and everything is like, I'm known as Mama Donna. And I have a big part of my following are people in their early 20s to mid 20s who are just getting out of college, disillusioned, don't want to go into the corporate world. Mm-hmm. And they find me and I guide them. And I'm honored to have mentored hundreds of thousands of young people to take charge in their own communities. There's nothing wrong with being in an urban area when you're part of making it a cultural center. It's a renaissance time we're in. And you're cleaning it up and you're part of a team sequestering carbon and creating new central parks in every single city. How epic of an opportunity, especially for these young people who can do this. And the manual work, maybe. Like, I can't do, I'm not as physically fit as I was when I was an organic farmer. But I mean, and so I love firing up people, and I like hearing their dreams, and I love, and just saying, wow, and suggesting things, and then them coming back with a better suggestion. Yeah, and then because it's their suggestion and their thing, and then they ride with it. And that is, these kids are, they're not kids.
No, not at all. Not at all. Unfortunately, Donna, it's been wonderful having you on the show. We're going to have to leave it there. Please let our audience know if they want to get in touch with you, where they can find you, what's your website, and if, I don't know if you have anything coming up that you want to let people know about, but why don't you let our audience know where they find you?
Yeah, you guys, I know we got to talk, you and me, audience, but DonnaMultz.com. And I'm sure you have these links somewhere too, but Donna Multz, yeah, they'll be in the show notes. DonnaMultz.com is, and then every Thursday in the afternoon here, 7 Eastern time, I do a show called A Dose of Positivity, where I interview changemakers, thought leaders, and health professionals that put social and environmental justice at the forefront of their endeavors. And I'm going to be interviewing yours truly, Sam, here in, probably in about 4 months. So we'll be sure to let your audience know. Yep. And then my books are all available on Amazon, DonnaMultz.com. But the most exciting thing is I'm a nature photographer. I just launched a new line of my nature photography under Eco-Spired by Nature, Eco-Spired by Nature. And we'll make sure we get that in the show notes. And all the proceeds usually go to protect nature, which I'm pleased about. But right now I have someone working with a company who is struggling with cancer. So I am helping her get through it, right? And I just appreciate anybody. And I want to wish everybody a super incredible, healthy holiday, to remind people, instead of wrapping their presents with wrapping paper and bows, to get a scarf. To get a sarong, use an old, beautiful aloha shirt and wrap your gifts in that, because the trees, we don't need to cut trees down to wrap paper that's going into the landfill the next morning.
Right, right.
Absolutely. Many things like that on our show that I talk about.
Wonderful, wonderful. So everyone tune in to Donna's show. It's a wonderful show. I look forward to being on it. Donna, thank you so much for getting up early and taking the time out of your day to come on my show today. Really appreciate it. And thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in. As always, Patty and Sanaya, I'm sure William is going to get in there sometime soon. And thank you for listening. And just remember, like, we have a whole bevy of other wonderful shows. Today at 5 o'clock is Frank Harrison and his show, Frank About Health. Tomorrow, of course, we've got Tommy with the show Philanthropy and Focus, and Steve with the show Always Friday. And then, of course, Monday evenings, you got to catch Sandra's show, The Edge of Every Day, a wonderful, wonderful show. So thank you all for tuning in. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc. And if on any of the major podcasting platforms, if you're listening to the podcast, and please give us a 5-star rating. If you haven't rated us yet, please put a review up there and rate us. We just hit over 10,000 downloads in a month's period of time, which is awesome. We want to keep that growing. Thank you so much. Take care. We will talk to you all next week.
Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business, or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges,
That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.